practice your brute force, you need to
close beyond. So,
okay.
Black History of Bridgeport, 1900 to present, a selected oral history. I'm Gwendolyn Roberts Johnson interviewing Mrs. Janie Sims at 849 Chopsy Hill Road, Bridgeport, Connecticut, on Friday, December 2nd, 1983. Mrs. Sims, will you tell me something about your early childhood? Where were you born?
Hamlet, North Carolina.
And when?
The 8th, 3rd, 1913.
How long have you been in Bridgeport?
Since I was 15 years old.
Where did you live in Bridgeport?
The north end of Bridgeport, High Street.
Can you tell me something about your neighborhood?
It was a mixed neighborhood. And that's one of the things that surprises me now, that you move into, a black person will move into a neighborhood and suddenly all the white people moved out, but I grew up next to an Italian family, and Lucy Caraglio and I were very good friends.
No.
And there were there was a German woman on the other side of us. We were in between Italians and Germans. Across the street from us were Jews.
Were there many blacks in the North End at that time?
No, not an awful lot.
Because most of the people we've interviewed were living in the South End,
uh-huh,
or East End and that. So there weren't that many.
No.
So your neighborhood had many people from many ethnic backgrounds.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me anything else about your neighborhood?
It was pleasant. Clean.
What school did you go to?
Well, when I came here, I was already in high school, so I went to Central.
Can you tell me something about the relationship between teachers and students at that time?
It was very, very good. But at that time, I was newly from the South, and it was a little strange to me, because I had been used to going to schools for all black, and then to be in with white and black, it was new to me. So I just found it a little strange, but I coped and managed to finish a year.
What about the student relationship between students and yourself?
It was nice, very nice. There was one black girl in my class besides myself, and we were very friendly, which we are until this day.
Who was that?
Dorothy Elsa.
Oh, thank you. Now, you told me you completed, what, ninth grade?
The ninth grade here in Bridgeport,
yeah.
But in North Carolina, I finished the 11th grade, because there we only had to go to 11th grade at that time.
Yeah.
But I was afraid. I was terribly afraid. Everybody had told me that, oh, the schools don't compare with the schools up north. So when I came here, I started all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was
frightened, and my mother was very upset with me because I did it. But I said, Mama, they don't have the same thing. And so I went back.
Did you find the school that different?
No. I went over the same thing that I had gone over, and so that's why I talked to different teachers and instructors, and they've all told me to use my 11th grade education in North Carolina as my base,
yes,
because I was only repeating myself,
yes,
in Central.
Yes. What did you do when you were not in school? For example, what were some of your social activities?
Well, I went to the Y on Beach Street. Then the Black Y, we had the Black Y.
The Y was very popular at that time.
Oh, yes, that was heaven for the black kids. If you wanted to be with the better class of kids, you went to the Y.
Mm-hmm. Who were some of your friends?
Well, Dorothy, Melissa Hanna, which is now deceased, and Jeanette Jackson, my God, she's deceased too. And I was friends with the Roche girls. And that's about it.
Did you come from a big family?
Six of us.
Oh, six of you. Mm-hmm. How did you celebrate holidays?
Well, the best way we could, because my father died during the flu epidemic.
And Bridgeport?
No, in North Carolina. Uh-huh. And my mother came here. And she would not marry again. She wanted her children to be happy. She was afraid someone wouldn't be good to us. So she, in fact, she worked herself into an early grave. Because she had the six of us to rear by herself.
Hard task. What were some of the things you did during the holidays?
Well, the usual thing we made differ. For Thanksgiving, we usually had if we didn't have a turkey, we had the largest chicken she could find. We stuffed them with the cornbread and sausage stuffing. Had sweet potatoes, candied sweet potatoes. And we then went to church. We went to church for everything. That was one of your outlets.
What about childhood games and activities?
Oh, the usual thing. Swimming. Going to the park, and playing ball in the street.
What about courting in those things?
Oh, well, now that poses a different question. I thought I was the most popular thing going. because my mother was a seamstress for cleaners, which was called the Rapport Cleaners, Rapport French Cleaners up on Main Street. And Sims lived up on the street up above there. Can't call the name of it right now. But anyway, he delivered clothes for the cleaners, and she thought he was the nicest boy ever. So I saw him over to that was shortly after I came. See, my mother came here first and left me with an aunt. Then I came. And then if your mother approved of someone, you had it made. And he didn't look so bad. So I decided we were at a dance over the Y. And I told him that my mother said, Goodson Street, which was off Main Street. So I told him that I lived on High Street, which was off Main Street, Bridgeport, North Main Street. So I told him that my mother said, my brother took me to the dance, and I told him that my mother said, since he lived my way, would he mind walking me back home?
Smart.
And he was nice. He says he had brought another girl, and he promised the parents that he would bring her back home. But could he see me the next day? So I haven't gotten rid of him since. That was the extent of my courting.
Where did you go to church?
Messiah.
Messiah. And you still go there?
I still go there.
Uh-huh. Can you remember who was the minister?
Oh, like yes, this? Reverend Gabe.
And where was the church located then?
Arch Street.
Well, that's where just moved from.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we moved from our street around to Congress.
To what extent was your family involved in church?
My mother was a church worker. She was on the stewardess board. My mother was Methodist.
Yeah.
And she went to AME Zion. And
well, did you go to Messiah when you were a child?
Mm-hmm. From 15 until
how
now.
How did that happen?
Because when she came to Bridgeport and left me with my aunt and Hamlet, she was Baptist. So I went to church with her, so that's
and
why.
And you stayed there?
Uh-huh.
Where were you during World War One?
Where was I as living or as Reed Street?
During World War One?
Oh, I was in North Carolina. I was
you were very young. Then.
Oh, yes.
Very young, so you don't know too much about your family participation and all that. You remember very little about it. Okay. Do you remember hearing your parents speak about World War One?
Well, not an awful lot.
Not enough to know.
No.
What about the Depression?
Oh, God. I know about that.
You were here then.
I was here then.
What do you remember about the Depression that you would like to tell us about?
I remember the cold. And I remember it was so cold those winters. It seemed unbearably cold. I guess it was because she had no money for coal and fuel. Because everyone was using coal stoves then, wood stoves, coal stoves. Yeah. And we were in a cold, what you would call now cold water plant.
Yeah.
And not being able to find a job. And my mother was the only one working in the house of, how many hours were there? Four then at that time. And I went to school in the morning, and in the afternoon I did have, I was able to get a job for a quarter a day, well say from 1 o'clock when I got there until six.
Where did you live then?
On High Street.
Same place.
Mm-hmm.
And who else lived there? Just your immediate family?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything about what people ate at that time?
Oh, yes, yes. Lots of beans. And they didn't have welfare then. There was, so you really went hungry. We ate a lot of chicken because chicken was cheap.
Yeah.
Chicken has always been a staple.
Okay,
God bless chicken. And my mother was famous, very famous, for making a huge pot of stew. And you would go to the Mohegan's Market on Main Street and ask for 5 cents worth of dog bones. I guess they thought, well, I'm sure they knew that everybody in Bridgeport had a dog. There were more dogs. So you would get a bag of bones and come home. My mother would wash the bones, boil them, and put some of everything in those bones and make the nicest pot of stew. And then she would maybe get a bunch of greens. And she'd boil those greens, and then she would make cornbread dumplings and drop in that. And she always managed to give us food.
She's a good cook.
Oh, excellent.
What about employment? You say you had a job. What about your friends and their relatives? Were many people unemployed at that time?
It seems that everybody and his brother was unemployed. No one seemed to be working. It was devastating. I never want to live through something like that. I think if I had to live through that again, I'd kill myself. And I'm not, and I don't have suicidal tendencies.
You were just explaining how people survived. Can you think of other ways in which they did ingenious things to try to survive during that period?
Well, I can remember my brothers going to Brown Brothers Furniture Store, which was on the corner of Main and High Street.
Mm-hmm.
And they would wait for them to open crates of furniture, and they would get the boxes. Then everything was
in crates.
Shipped in wood crates, and they would bring that home, and we would use that for wood. And they would go up and somewhere up, wherever the trains went in Bridgeport, pick up coal, such as that.
Fell from the cars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember much about medical care, about childbirth and other things at that time?
Well, they had, what did they call it up there on Bull's Head? They didn't call it the welfare. She could go in there and have a tooth extracted or filled for 35 cents.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Some kind of health service.
Yes. And it wasn't called a clinic. What the devil did they call that?
What other service did they run?
Oh, they give you a physical. If you had a pain, from there they would send you to the hospital. I guess they called it the emergency. And it was at Bull's Head where that building...
There was a health department there at one time.
Where that building is now.
I remember that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where it was...
Going up Washington.
Yeah, yeah. And, because I remember going in there for 35 cents to have a tooth extracted, and he put the Novocaine in. And there were so many people till I stayed outside until the Novocaine was beginning to wear off.
And did people have babies at home, or did they go to the hospital?
Well, see, I didn't pay too much attention to that.
At that time,
uh-huh.
Where did blacks live at this particular time?
They were still on High Street.
Still on High Street, still in the South End.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But do you think the church played an important role at that time?
Well, I'm sure it did, but people were still very, very proud. I think the white churches did more, because I can remember when my mother died 32, and I can remember a Negro lady coming to me and telling me that she was going to put my name into our name into some white church, and they did send us two big baskets of food, but I didn't ask her. She did this on her own, and I really think the white churches played a larger part, because I never remember anything coming from my Messiah. I'm sure it would now, because things are different now. And also from Zion's, nothing ever came, but that it certainly came.
You were in Bridgeport during World War II too?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody in your family participate in World War II?
Yes. Three brothers, and one was killed.
During the war.
Uh-huh.
What do you remember most about this period?
World War II?
Yes.
Well, this, I can remember the change. I could see the change coming. We were able to get, it's kind of heartbreaking to feel that way, but you could get jobs. Mm-hmm. You got into defense plants. Things really began to get better. And
how did it affect your family? Did you get your members of your family get better jobs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have a shortage of food at that time?
No, we were getting what do you call them? Not the food stamps. They gave you the the
ration
books. So then I had friends who would give me, that didn't have children, but they would give me theirs. So I lived very well.
That in Bridgeport, there was a definite change in economic status.
This was a
factory town.
Big change. It came from all over.
Did you see a change in social life at that time?
Yes. We were able to go to better places. We were able to have friends at home and do things that we were not able to do before.
What about housing?
Housing became better. You began to come out of the cold water flats into running hot water bathtubs.
What about changes in race relations?
That was slow. That was still slow. It didn't come about overnight. We still had, they still didn't give the blacks the same jobs that the white were getting. We finally, worked our way into those.
That was a long time coming.
Yeah.
So after the war, you feel the work changed, the work habits changed?
Yeah, they changed.
Living conditions were better.
Yes.
But there was still a problem with jobs.
Still problems with jobs.
When did you start working at Bridgeport Hospital? You were telling me that you were the first black to work there.
Well, during the war, I worked in the GE. Before the war, 39, 38, I think I started working at Bullard's in Black Rock. And then when the war started, I left there because they wanted to put me on the night shift, and I didn't want the night shift. And I went to the GE. And I worked in the GE. I left the GE. I went stayed home for a while with my children. Then I went back to work and I worked in the brass shop. And I worked there for a while. And I couldn't stand working nights, so I went back to the GE. So I'm working in the GE, doing very well. And one day my machine decided it would break down. And he wanted to put me on another job that I knew it was piecework, and I knew I wouldn't make out on this machine. So I picked up my pocketbook and said I wouldn't work on that job. I would go home and I would be back in the morning. And as I was walking home, I lived on Reed Street, and I walked from my house to the GE. And as I was walking home, I passed Bridgeport Hospital, and I decided to go in. And I walked in and asked to see the supervisor of nurses. And I had no appointment with her, so they sent me up. They called up to find out if I could come up, and she said, yes, send me up. So I went up. And I had been hearing about the, as they called it, the trained attendant course. And I went up and I introduced myself to Miss Richardson. And I told her what I was there for. And she hemmed and hawed. She told me that I sounded very promising, and that she would like to have me, but I had two small children, and they didn't like to take mothers from children. I said, well, I'm working now. I said, I work each and every day. I said, so why not now? I said, I wasn't able to grandchildren, I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be working. So I said, now if you don't want me, that's, you don't want to hire me, because at that time we hadn't become black. I said, if you don't want to hire me because I'm colored, I says, I can go to St. Vincent's and apply there because I hear they do. I says, in fact, I know, because I knew they had Evelyn Alves. I says, they have a colored lady, a colored woman in St. Vincent's. So she says, oh, no, no, it's not that, it's not that. But we just don't want to interfere with the families. I says, my family will be taken care of no matter what. So she gave me the papers, necessary papers to fill out and to bring home and have them filled out. And I did so, and I took them back. And she found no reason not to hire me, and I was hired. So then I got frightened. I says, how can I do this all by myself? So I got on the telephone, and I called Velma Plummer. I says, Plummer, I says, let's go into the hospital. I says, we've been saying that we wanted to do something that we didn't, that would, we could have to be proud of and have for the rest of our lives. So she consented to go up, and then I called Meredith Rivers, and she consented to go up. Now, why I did this for Meredith, because Thelma had always been talking about she would love to be a nurse. Meredith Rivers and Lucille Holmes and Jane McEachin were three that Reverend Gay had tried to get into Bridgeport Hospital as student nurses. So that was always, it always stuck in my craw that I wanted it so much. But after he couldn't get us in there, they wouldn't accept us. My mother had said, well, sister, we will do whatever we can, and I can try and send you to New York. So I felt, well, at least I can start with this. And I was the first black person of any capacity to be hired in Bridgeport. Now the other
so you girls, made history.
The other girls came and went up the next week. And they were,
so you opened the door for them. You were trailblazing.
I opened the door. So when I decided, after working and taking the abuse, and Gwen, you will never know the abuse that we took. Oh no, no, you can't. They even made a different dining room. They had to say that this was the trained attendants dining room. They didn't want us in the main dining room. So after being there for a while, and the girls learning that we weren't going to eat them or the black wasn't going to rub off, they would say, come on, Sims, let's go to lunch. Nobody called anybody by their first name. Sims, let's go to lunch. And we would get to the dining room, into the cafeteria. Our dining room was over here. The main dining room was down a few steps and around. So they come. Oh, this is our dining room. We have to go in here. Well, then they got, it was a nice little room, so the doctors decided they wanted to use this room for conferences. So we would come in, and the door would be closed. The doctors would all be in there. So that meant we had to go into the main dining room. Well, they kept this up for about a year till finally they found out it was subsistence. And then our own people, our own black people ridiculed us no end. They didn't hope. They didn't stop.
You mean the ones who were working at the hospital?
No, the ones out in the street.
Oh, interesting.
Says we were nothing but to glorified bedpan emptiers. It was terrible. And I've often felt that's why the NAACP didn't recognize us as being pioneers. And now we had a few.
But that was a tremendous achievement.
We had a few black girls here who were RNs out of New York. One.